CBS 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace on Duval County, January the 4th, 1976.
They stole from Duval County.
It'd be millions of dollars. They people down here, it's a way of life, don't they? The elected officials, they think that you're supposed to steal.
This man is not a neurotic or an alcoholic. He is a terminal cancer patient. This is his last in a series of therapy sessions.
Corner of Texas that has become a legend in that state. Ever since the turn of the century, Duval County, Texas has been run like a medieval duchy. In fact, the political boss who ran it the last 40 years or so was known as the Duke of Duval. It's unlikely that many of you have ever heard of Duval County, but John Connolly and Abe Fortas and Percy Foreman could tell you about it. And Lyndon Johnson could have, too. While the Duke was alive, local reporters didn't write much about Duval County. Maybe that's because one reporter who nosed around was shot and killed. Even the Texas Rangers thought twice about stepping foot onto the Duke's territory. It's a scrubby-looking place for a political power base. A small county by Texas standards, much of it appears to be just wasteland. A handful of villages look like semi-abandoned Western movie sets. Little sign of any industry, no hospital, and most of the county roads will shake the bolts right out of your car. Most of the people down there are dirt poor Mexican Americans. Their average income about $35 a week. But then you see things that make you wonder. For instance, dotting this mainly arid, sun-baked territory, you come upon huge cattle ranches, tens of thousands of acres, that should be a good source of tax revenues for the county. And oil, lots of it, taxed at the wellhead by the county. Well, the truth is, most of that tax money over the years has been going into the pockets of a political gang run by a man named George Parr. They called him the Duke. George died last spring, left no successor, and Texas lawmen finally saw their chance.
Captain Wood, how come this whole force of Texas Rangers and investigators and lawyers, a whole strike force down here in Duval County?
Well, it's a corrupt county, probably worse than Texas, and we come down to clean it up.
How corrupt has Duval County been over the time that George Parr was the Duke of Duval?
It's about as corrupt as it could be. It couldn't be any worse. Elected official down here was stealing the county blind. They stole gasoline by the truckloads, diesel fuel, fertilizer, charged to the county, caterpillars, maintainers that they purchase and carry out on their ranches, and they use them till they wore them out, and they were used for county business.
I've even heard, I don't know if it's true or not, that George Parr bought a snowplow for Duval County, and it doesn't rain very much down here. It hasn't snowed down here in how long?
Well, if it ever has snowed down here, I don't know about it.
Well, then why would George Parr buy a snowplow?
Well, the only reason I can figure out is because he wanted to help himself through getting a kickback from the man he'd bought the snowplow from.
Walter Meek was a lifelong friend of George Parr and county auditor for the past 15 years.
We have 60-some-odd people on the payroll that don't work.
It's just payoff money, if you will, to friend George Parr.
That's right. It's not completely in the sense of paying off. It's the fact that this man comes to him, needs some work, and he just will go down and see so-and-so and go to work. And it's not a question of work. He knows he's not working. He's just on the payroll. Some of the people that they're drawing at are fairly well off. I mean, didn't need it, actually. Some of the henchmen.
Well, now, look, you were county auditor here for 15 years. You must have signed paychecks, or you were aware of paychecks given to people that you knew darn well didn't work for the county.
Many of them. A lot of others, I just had strong suspicion, but they were usually right.
Yeah.
Well, I had no alternative. The commissioners okay the people. They put them on the payroll.
And the commissioners are Parr men.
That's right. The commissioner's court consisting of the judge and four commissioners, is the governing body of the county. If they okay a bill, I have no alternative but to pay it, even though I know it was some useless purchase, or a purchase is going to be used on someone's ranch. She used to kid me about being an honest man. They'd tell me, oh, hell, you're against everything, you know, and something come up. For instance, the Lyndon Johnson deal. I didn't know anything about that till after the event.
Back in 1948, Lyndon Johnson ran for the U.S. Senate. In the primary, he finished in just about a dead heat. Well, 6 days after that election, George Parr's people found him 200 extra votes down here. Some people said that some of them had been voted by dead people. In any case, Johnson won the primary by 87 votes. That's when he came to be known as Landslide Lyndon, and went on to his first term in the U.S. Senate.
They call you the political boss of South Texas.
I do not. I don't have influence. I have friends, but I'm not the influence. It's just like if I were to go to you and ask, would you do this favor for me? Maybe I'd done a favor for you and say, well, there's nothing wrong, I'll be glad to it. That's all it amounts to. I couldn't do more telling anybody to do something than I could fly. I can ask them to.
You couldn't swing an election or anything like that?
It all depends.
Do you have any horseback figure as to how much George Parr and his henchmen over a period of the time that he was the Duke of Duval, how much they stole from Duval County?
It'd be millions of dollars, but it'd be hard for us to even estimate it.
And he himself, was he a rich man?
Not when he died. He wanted power. The more power he
power got, to do what?
Just power to control the people and the public. He wanted to tell the people down here what they could do and when they could do it.
You see, these folks have always lived with poverty and some discrimination. George Parr spoke perfect Spanish. He seldom missed a fiesta or a funeral. His door was always open. Then never mind where it came from, there was always a 5 spot or a 10 for any poor soul who needed it. George was El Patron, their Spanish godfather. And on election day, he owned their votes, had total control.
For 4 decades, the man inside that house ran politics, not just here in Duval County, but to a large extent in several of the surrounding counties as well. He was the kingmaker. He was the boss.
It is. I call you the political boss of South Texas.
I do not. I don't have influence. I have friends, but I'm not the influence. It's just like if I were to go to you and ask, would you do this favor for me? Maybe I'd done a favor for you and say, well, there's nothing wrong, I'll be glad to it. That's all it amounts to. I couldn't do more telling anybody to do something than I could fly. I can ask them to.
You couldn't swing an election or anything like that?
It all depends.
Do you have any horseback figure as to how much George Parr and his henchmen over a period of the time that he was the Duke of Duval, how much they stole from Duval County?
It'd be millions of dollars, but it'd be hard for us to even estimate it.
And he himself, was he a rich man?
Not when he died. He wanted power. The more power he
power
got,
to do what?
Just power to control the people and the public. He wanted to tell the people down here what they could do and when they could do it.
You see, these folks have always lived with poverty and some discrimination. George Parr spoke perfect Spanish. He seldom missed a fiesta or a funeral. His door was always open. Then never mind where it came from, there was always a 5 spot or a 10 for any poor soul who needed it. George was El Patron, their Spanish godfather. And on election day, he owned their votes, had total control.
For 4 decades, the man inside that house ran politics, not just here in Duval County, but to a large extent in several of the surrounding counties as well. He was the kingmaker. He was the boss.
In his garage, there hangs what could just be the largest private collection of trophy deer heads in all the world, all shot by him. They say he liked to shoot deer from helicopters.
Was George Parr a killer, Captain Wood? I ask that because three people died under very mysterious circumstances who were enemies of his.
No, I don't think George himself was. No, I'd say he probably wasn't. He liked to hunt and kill animals, but I wouldn't say he'd kill people.
But there was a fellow, a reporter, radio reporter by the name of Bill Mason, who died here. Would you imagine that
George Parr saw to it that Bill Mason died?
Well, that's some people suspect that. Of course, there's no evidence to it.
Your own speculation?
I'd say it's a good possibility.
Young man by the name of Floyd, who was
Jake Floyd. He was assassinated here in the driveway of the house.
Right. You think George Parr was behind that?
I'd say George knew something about it.
Not very much happened here. Certainly nothing of that nature, whether it was Mason or Floyd or whomever, unless George Parr.
George knew everything that went on in Duval County.
This was George Parr's private till, his cash register. He had dozens of friends on the county payroll who never did a lick of work. He controlled the judges and the juries, and the tax people, too, and therein hangs a tale. At times in his life, the good times, George Parr was worth millions in cash and land. This was just one of his ranches, and you'd think he'd pay a lot of taxes. Well, last year, his $250,000 mansion was appraised by the county tax people at just $1,210. He paid a $43 property tax on it. That infuriated people like these middle-income ranchers who paid a price not to be Parr supporters.
And I pay $1,700 a year for water taxes where I don't get no water. I'm 8 miles from the closest water tower.
And you still pay your $1,700 a year in water tax? Texas law enforcement people never had a good deal of luck when they came here to prosecute George Parr. Though the feds were more successful, back in the 30s, he actually did 9 months in jail for tax evasion. And then in the 40s, Harry Truman restored his right to run for public office.
There were more federal cases through the years, but lawyers with names like Percy Forman and Abe Fortas kept him out of jail. But finally, in 1973, came the beginning of the end for the Duke of Duval. It was the feds again. They said George had forgotten to pay $381,000 in taxes. And while El Patron was worrying about that in federal court, things weren't going so well back home in the county courthouse either. A local family named Carrillo had been trusted lieutenants of the Parr regime for years, but now, led by District Judge O.P. Carrillo, a coup was brewing.
The Carrillos, when you talk about the Carrillos, there's only D.C. Chopper's family. That's his three sons and his daughter and son-in-law. That is, when you talk about it, that's what mounts Carrillo. The rest of them are peons.
No power.
They don't have any power, they don't have to say. They give them a job if they want to. They can have dishwashers, they can drive a car, or they can work out on a ranch or farm. But they don't have a job. Hell no. Who do they go to see when they come to the old party when they need something?
Well, then they say old George got so mad, he showed up at the courthouse with a gun on his belt and the name O.P. Carrillo on his lips.
Now, why would you have a pistol here in the courthouse?
No case. There's no case for me to have a pistol at all.
Am I thinking you were about to shoot up somebody, or?
I guess so. They think that I made a threat against O.P. Carrillo, and they want me to find out whether it's true or not, and they'd like to see me in jail, which wouldn't be something strange. I've seen it before, but it's not true. They've investigated it up here.
They pat you down to see if you had a gun?
Oh, they won't even come close to me.
He went into the judge's office and told the receptionist, the young lady, says, get your boss up here. Tell him to come up right away. I'm going to shoot him. Now, if that's considered a threat in Yankee land, maybe so, but not down here. You don't call a man up and tell him, get over here fast because I don't want to shoot you.
But he did have a gun in his belt.
You call the doctor that fast after you've been shot, but not the... No, he's made those threats. He wasn't going to shoot anybody.
But O.P. Carrillo took him seriously. He got himself two of the biggest rangers in Texas for protection. Then the feds heard about the gun incident. George, they said, would have to go to jail to await his appeal on that tax conviction. Did that worry him?
No, what the hell? I'm too old to worry about that. 74 years old? Hell, it doesn't mean that much. I've been before, I know. It's just like a kid. You put him in jail one time, he's scared, slapped to death. The next time, he says, I'll take my lunch with him because I know what's going to happen.
Well, that was George Parr's last hurrah. A few days later, they found him with a bullet in his head. He did it himself. Incredibly, he died almost broke.
a victim of overborrowing, overspending, and huge legal fees. His wife, Eva, was left with a 9-year-old daughter and $1 million worth of bills. Well, that's not the end of the story. A strike force from the state attorney general's office had already begun a grand jury investigation prior to George's death. And with the Duke gone, the walls came tumbling down. Texas Rangers began combing the countryside in helicopters looking for the spoils. Some things were obvious, like the irrigation system on George Parr's sister's ranch. Miles of pipe, fed by a man-made lake. All put together, say the prosecutors, with county equipment and county money. And over on nephew Archer Parr's ranch, a racetrack complete with grandstand, parking lot, and horse sheds. Built, say the lawmen, by county employees with county money, county equipment. Throughout the county, hidden on various private ranches, county machinery.
There's five Caterpillar out there on George's place.
At an average cost of about $50,000 a piece?
They'd run around $50,000 average.
$250,000 worth of Caterpillars. What about this?
Heavy machinery and racetracks were the obvious loot, stolen by the big boys. But the lawmen wanted everyone, big and small, and they needed an informer. Someone to put the finger on all the political thieves. They got one in Rodolfo Cooley, a tax collector, who ran a store set up by the politicals as a front. His store did over $360,000 worth of county business.
Mr. Cooley, of the $368,000 that went from the governmental entities in Duval County to your store, could you tell us approximately how much money was for legitimate business?
Approximately more or less around $45,000.
60 Minutes was allowed to film as strike force investigators drew story after story out of Cooley. Much of the corruption committed in the name of these people, the school children of Duval County. The school cafeteria served ordinary school lunches, but the school board billed the county taxpayers for expensive cuts of steak for the kids. Other phony bills claimed Cooley were issued to his store to buy hunting rifles and ammunition for certain school board members. Personal cars were repaired and gassed up at county expense. Private homes were rebuilt with county money, and county cash was just plain stolen and handed to the politicians.
And you get a check from that governmental body, put it in your account, and then you disperse the money to the various officials.
Yes, sometimes it was by cash, sometimes by check.
Tell me something. Cynics say that what goes on, what has gone on down here in Duval County isn't all that different from other counties, other places, other states. That this is the American way.
No, this is Duval way. It's done different down here.
How do you mean?
Well, these people down here, it's a way of life to them. The elected officials, they think that you're supposed to steal.
Is Duval County politics, Duval County corruption, all that different in your estimation, Mr. Meek?
None.
From other counties, other places?
Not one whit. Not one whit. Except that it's more open. It's frankly corrupt.
In this bicentennial year, this is America.
That's right. God help her.
Question. How much of Duval County is there in your hometown?